Production. Recorded live.
God bless you all today. I would like to welcome you all to another Talk Shoe segment of the Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host once again, Apostle Lionel Blair. And we do have another yet interesting a segment today because we're continuing our discussion on apostolic ministry. Amen. Yesterday, we pretty much described pretty much what an apostle is. Amen. And we got into pretty much what an apostle does. Amen. And we're going to get more, I wouldn't say in depth, but it's going to be a continuation of yesterday concerning what it is that actually an apostle does and what all comes with apostolic ministry. And a lot of people may ask, you know, well, what does this have to do with winning souls? Because I get that all the time. You know, whenever I post things or begin to discuss things concerning the ministry of the apostle, people come at me all the time and ask me, well, what does this have to do with winning souls? But can I tell you something? If the foundation is not properly laid, then the whole building can crumble. Mm. Oh, can I say that again? If the whole foundation is jacked up and messed up, don't you know that what you're trying to build is going to crumble? What you build is going to be shaky. It's going to be flaky. Amen. Foundation is important. Amen. And the thing about it is we converting these folks, bringing them into our churches, and our churches are only halfway effective because they have no apostolic or prophetic input. Amen. And thing about it is that, you know, pastoral ministry cares and pastoral ministry brings healing, but understand that the apostolic anointing brings reformation and change. Amen. It takes the prophet to really refine, and it takes the apostle to reform. Amen. And the reason why that I teach so much on the apostolic and the prophetic is because it's very well needed. It is the foundation of the household of God. Many people don't want to recognize that. Amen. We're so used to the traditional title of pastor over the churches, and I'm going to get into that too, the difference between an apostle and a pastor, because we must recognize that, and we must recognize where that originated from. Amen. As far as the pastor or the bishop being the senior leader of a church or a group of churches. Amen. We're going to get into that today. Amen. But apostolic ministry is very important. It is even important to the new converts that come in. You know, some people may not agree. You know, they don't know what an apostle is when they first come in. All they understand is pastor. And, you know, that's that. And understand this, I am not degrading the pastor. I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to apostolic ministry, pastors are our best friend. Yeah? I'm telling you, all the gifts are very important. Don't get me wrong. All the gifts are important, and they have their proper places. And if each gift is in its proper place, then the kingdom can run smoothly. Amen? Because without the pastor, it will still be non-effective. Amen? So pastors are very important to God. Amen? So I don't want nobody running around just saying, I'm just a pastor. What do you mean you're just a pastor? You're just as important as any other ministry gift.
But amen.
But now we have the title of the pastor. Amen. We have the title of the evangelist, and we even recognize the teacher. Amen. But over the last century or so, over the last, I think I used the wrong word. But during this time, amen, for the last, I say, about 20 years, God has really been raising up the apostolic and the prophetic together, amen. God has really been raising up those ministry gifts. I'm talking about in the strength that is growing in now, amen. And we must begin to understand these gifts. The people of God must begin to understand these gifts, amen. The people of God must begin to understand these gifts. And as more people come on the line, I'm going to have to mute the lines because folks be having all kind of background noise. Amen. That's just something new. I just started. Amen. For those who are in the chat room or those who are on the lines now, amen, I will be muting the lines as more people come on. Amen. But understand this. Understand this. That our foundation must be solid. Our foundation must be solid. I'm so passionate in this thing. Amen. And everybody talking about all we got to do is win souls. Amen. But yeah, but when you win them and when you bring them into church, amen, and all you have is a ministry that's half effective because all ministry gifts are not in this place. Amen. It's in these churches here, a lot of these churches, that people leave. Amen. People end up going back into the world from these kind of churches. Amen. I've seen churches that only have apostles and prophets in there. You cannot just have the apostle and the prophet. You need the pastors. You need the evangelists. You need the teachers in the church as well. Amen. All five gifts should be working in every church. All five. All five gifts should be working in every church. Amen. All five gifts. I've seen churches, praise God, that have the apostle in there and the rest of the ministers, the rest of the ministry team are just ministers. Amen. Minister ain't in the fivefold ministry. Amen. Minister ain't in the fivefold ministry. Reverend definitely ain't in the fivefold ministry. We have to get these. We have to get stuff like that right. And then some people say, "Well, what does it matter?" It does matter. Amen. People need to know what the function of the fivefold ministry is. You have a lot of leaders now that are being stifled in their calling because they don't know what their calling is. They just know that they are reverend or minister. They just called to preach. That's it. No, you have a specific ministry function, and if you're not performing that function, you're going to continue to be ineffective. Amen. So we're going to get into more of this apostolic thing. Amen. We're going to get more into that. And we're going to get into when Jesus first commissioned the apostles. Amen. We're going to go to Matthew 10, and we're going to pick apart everything that he told them, because that whole scripture, Matthew 10, is written in the context of Jesus sending forth the apostles. They were disciples at first, but this was when they was first released into the apostolic anointing. Amen. This was when they was first released into their apostleship. Amen. And I touched a little bit on it yesterday, but I really didn't get a chance to really, really touch on it like I wanted to. Amen. Really didn't get a chance to really touch on it like I wanted to. So we're going to get into the ministry of the apostle according to Matthew 10. Amen. And I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm reading from the New King James. Read it from the New King James. It says, hold on, get ready to mute the lines here, amen. For those of y'all who are on the phone lines, I do have the phone lines muted. Just in case, you know, you have extra background noise, amen. But you should still be able to hear me. It says, when he, talking about Jesus, had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. He began to name the apostles, but then the first thing before you could become an apostle, because he called them disciples. So yet in their discipleship training, they should have been able to have power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something for a second, okay? Before they were apostles, they were disciples. I'm going to tell you something. When you are a believer, you are supposed to be able to cast out devils. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. It didn't say just the apostles. It didn't say just the prophets. Amen. Every believer is supposed to be able to cast out a demon. If you can't cast out a demon, then I question the fact of whether you are a believer or not. You may profess it, but it says these signs are supposed to follow those that believe. So if you're not doing these things, amen, you need to get your faith up. Amen. It says, "They in my name they shall cast out devils." That's the first thing he mentioned. "In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Amen. You still have some believers that have not even been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I'm not a Pentecostal, but I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in that. Amen. It's biblical. "They shall speak with new tongues. They shall tread on serpents and scorpions. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Every believer is supposed to be moving in that type of kingdom demonstration. Every believer. So even in their discipling stages, they were given the authority to do that. Amen. So us as believers, regardless of whether you are a fivefold ministry gift or whether you are not in the fivefold ministry gift, amen, you are supposed to be able to cast out a demon. Deliverance is not a specified ministry. It is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. You got some folks that talk about, "Well, deliverance is not my ministry." You a lie. Amen. Deliverance is your ministry. Healing is your ministry. If it's the ministry of Jesus Christ, then it is your ministry. Amen. So don't be scared and intimidated. Praise God. If you're a believer, you're supposed to have authority over every demonic force that's not of God. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that out there, because you do got some folks that say that deliverance is not their ministry. Amen. You do have some folks that say that. So then it begins to name the 12 apostles. And then if you read verse 5 and 6, it says, "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, do not enter into the city of Samaria, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel." I heard a man of God say this, and a lot of information that I've quoted from that I will be quoting from these chapters. Not only the revelation of the Holy Ghost given to me, but also different things that I've heard from other leaders that God has given to them. Amen. It's all right to borrow somebody's mind. Amen. Amen. When you got somebody that's sharper than you in something, you glean from them. Amen. I don't get these folks that's prideful and saying that can't nobody tell them that. The devil is a lie. You'll never get nowhere like that. Amen. But I heard a man of God say this one time. He explained these two verses. He said that when Jesus called the apostles to himself, he gave them specific instructions. Amen. He told them, don't go to the lost sheep of Israel. He said, don't go to the way of the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep of Israel. He gave them specific instructions upon their apostolic commissioning. Amen. Jesus gave them specific instructions. If you are an apostle, you must have a clear sense of what you are called to do. An apostle is one sent and commissioned to accomplish something, right? Isn't that right? So there are different spheres of operation in the apostolic. Amen. You have apostles that may be called to different nations and different peoples. Amen. You have whatever you're sent to do. All of us are sent and called to build the kingdom. Amen. We already know that. But the kingdom of God is so multidimensional. Amen. We're all called to preach the kingdom. But the Bible also says that we know in part and we prophesy in part, meaning that all of us have a part to play. Amen. So what are you called to do in the vein of your assignment? What is the vein of your assignment? What is it that God has given you to bring to the table? Because he ain't going to give you the whole pie. Amen. I don't get these folks that think that their church is the only church and their revelation is just it, because God will never give one person everything, because he knows man. Man will start thinking that they God after a while. That's what happened to Lucifer. when he was in heaven. He was the anointed cherub that covered. He had great authority. Matter of fact, he was the only angel that I heard of in the Bible that was anointed. So he had something that everybody else didn't have. Amen. And it got to his head and it got him kicked out. Amen. So God will never give everybody everything. All of us have a part to play. So as an apostle, you have a specific thing that God has called you to do. And that is your part in advancing the kingdom, being that the kingdom of God is so multidimensional. Amen. So that means that you can't limit the kingdom of God in one category. Amen. God desires to advance his kingdom in the political arena, in the business arena. Praise God, he desires to advance his kingdom even in the media. Amen. I strongly believe that and feel that, that God is going to start raising up anointed people of God for the area of media. Amen. And they're going to counter and shut down a lot of this mess that they're putting out there on the media. Amen. But the reason why it's out there like that, because there's really a few handful of people that's really challenging what they're putting out there on the media. Amen. And the ones that are Christian broadcasting networks like TBN, Word Network, and all them, they compromising now. Amen. I never forget that time I was at somebody's house and was watching the Word Network, and they were celebrating Chaka Khan. I'm like, this is a mess. Chaka Khan is a secular artist, and they got the nerve to celebrate Chaka Khan. You see what I'm saying? So the thing about it is that the ones that's out there now that have the status that God has blessed them with, they have now turned their backs on God for the sake of compromising so that they can keep money flowing instead of just trusting God and believe that he gave you the vision, he's going to provide for it. See, people do that kind of stuff when they stop trusting God. When God got you this far, don't you think he can carry you further? You don't have to compromise and stoop to the enemy's level to get your work accomplished. Amen? So the thing about it is that every apostle is called to do something. Okay? Not all apostles are the same. We all don't have the same assignment. We all not called to the same people. What is your apostolic commissioning? We're all called to the Great Commission. The Great Commission was an apostolic commission. Amen. It was given to the apostles. Praise God. All apostles are called to do that. But how is it? What is your part in that? Amen. What is your part in that? So every apostle is given specific instructions. Given specifics. Amen. Specific instructions. Verse 7, it says, as ye go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me stop right there. We are supposed to preach the kingdom, all right? The focal point of every message that an apostle preaches or proclaims should be kingdom oriented. We are called to preach the kingdom. We're not called to preach church. You got whole lessons on how you should be faithful to your local building. Amen. How about being in the kingdom and being faithful to God? And when you're faithful to God, you'll be faithful in what he called you to do. Don't teach folks just to be faithful and come into a building. Because I'm going to tell you something. The building does not make up the church. It's just a building. Ain't nothing anointed about your building. Well, let me say that again. Ain't nothing anointed about your building. Who is the church? We are the church. If you look up the church, it means called out ones. It didn't say called out building. Look it up. It means called out ones, not a called out building. We put more emphasis on the building instead of where really we should be putting emphasis on the people. Apostles build the people of God. Apostles build the people of God. They don't build a building. We put all this emphasis on the building, and we put everything into a building. Don't get me wrong, make it look nice and all that, because that's what you gather up and you gather and you assemble together. There's nothing wrong with that. Apostles established churches. Who is the church? The people. They established people in Christ. The evangelists go get them. Preach the gospel to them. Preach salvation and deliverance and healing to them. Amen. Then the apostles teach them and establishes them firmly in Christ. Amen. We're so busy trying to establish folks in a building. We need to be establishing them in Christ. The Bible says no other foundation should be laid in a person's life than that of Jesus Christ. Apostles lay the foundation of Jesus Christ in the lives of the believers. Any other foundation other than that? That ain't God. Jesus is your foundation, not your church building, not your pastor, not your leader, but Christ. Most preachers ain't gonna tell you that. Amen. The local church is not the kingdom. Amen. The church is not the kingdom. I'm going to say that again. Because some of us treat the church like it's the kingdom. Apostles are called to preach the kingdom. We're not called to preach church. But we're so busy preaching the church like it is the kingdom. And it's not. The church is the government of God that administrates the kingdom. Amen. The church is the avenue through which the kingdom of God can be demonstrated through. Amen. We're not the kingdom. We're in the kingdom. Uh-oh. Amen. The church, the called out ones, we are not the kingdom. We're in the kingdom. We're under the rule of the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom, my God, the kingdom is in us. It flows through us. It governs us. Amen. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the sphere in which Christ rules. All right? So when Jesus told the Pharisees, when Jesus told the people, he said that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. That means it'll come with what you can see. So everybody looking for a physical thing? No. He said the kingdom of God is in you. And some translations even say that the kingdom of God is in you and around you. Because once God has dominion in you, then he can use you to establish the kingdom and his dominion over what's around you. And come on now. He got to have dominion in you in order to establish his dominion through you. So my question is, do the king have dominion in you? The kingdom of God is spiritual. It has nothing to do with a physical thing. It has nothing to do with the physical building. It don't even have nothing to do with our physical bodies. Because the kingdom of God is spiritual. It's on the inside of us. And we're advancing the kingdom in the earth because what's in us is now channeling and flowing through us and affecting what is around us. Every atmosphere should shift because you done walked inside. We are carriers of the kingdom of God. We are advancing the rulership of God in the earth. Let me tell you something about a kingdom real quick. All right, I explained this so many times, but I'm going to explain it again. When you're talking about kingdom, you're talking about the reign and the rule of a king. All right, there are certain attributes and characteristics of God's reign. There's certain attributes and characteristics of Satan's reign. Let's talk about Satan's reign for a second. Because Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. What did he mean by that? Understand this. When Satan is ruling in a particular person's life or in a particular region or territory, what is the characteristics of his rule? Sickness, disease, demonic possession. Hello? I'm about to simplify the kingdom message for you. Demonic possession, poverty, hello, bondage to religion, false religion. Praise God, you got all these negative things that are ruling in a particular atmosphere, or ruling in a particular territory, or ruling in a particular household, or even ruling in a particular person's personal life. But when the kingdom of God comes, my God, it expels all of that. It expels the sickness. It expels the disease. Come on now. It expels the demons. It establishes peace. Come on now. It establishes the rule and the reign of God. Amen. It enforces the fact that Jesus, through his poverty, we are made rich. Amen. So when the kingdom of God is being advanced, come on now, and being established in a person's life, these are the things that's going to come about. He said, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. My God. So if you're in the kingdom, and the kingdom is governing your life, righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost, these things are going to be evident in your life. Not saying that you ain't going to have hard times, amen, but your hard times not going to overtake you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That thing can't stay with you. It don't take God long to do nothing. There's no reason why you've been going to church for all these years and you're still sick in your body. You've been sick for years. That's not kingdom rule in your life. Amen. That's not kingdom rule. Amen. Hallelujah. I bless God today because God is so good. Amen. So, apostles, we preach the kingdom. Amen. We don't preach church. All messages from an apostle must be kingdom-oriented and kingdom-based. You can tell a real apostle who's kingdom-minded. Because I don't care if you're talking about Daniel and the lion's den, they're going to tie that into the kingdom. Amen. They're going to tie that into the kingdom. They can take something even from the Old Testament, because understand that the Old Testament was a type and a shadow of what was to come. They can take that and tie it into the kingdom. It takes an apostolic a grace to do that, an apostolic and a prophetic grace to do that. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I like this. Verse 8. Let's look at verse 8. He told them to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm going to get on that freely give stuff in a second. Amen. All apostles operate in miracles, signs, and wonders. There's no such thing as a powerless apostle. If you are an apostle and you can't cast out a devil, you can't lay hands on the sick, you don't see none of these things happen, then that's not the real apostolic. Because the apostolic produces fruit. This is another way of advancing the kingdom of God in a person's life. This is another way of establishing a person in Christ, because now you're manifesting the works of Christ. Amen? It says, freely you have received, freely give. Amen. That scripture right there, he's talking about the grace. Freely you have received this grace, freely give. So what was he telling you? Freely you have received this anointing to be able to do these things, freely do it. That means it's free of charge. You shouldn't have to pay for a prophecy. That's a psychic. Psychics charge for prophecies. And you got psychics in the church now. Amen. And I can call the names of some now. You got psychics in the church. Charge for prophecies. Amen. Y'all better stop writing for them green handkerchiefs and them red handkerchiefs and the miracle water and all that. Y'all better stop writing for that stuff and paying for them prophecy. That's what you're doing. You're paying for a prophecy. Amen. That's not scripture. Hello? They're supposed to freely give. Now, I'm not against sowing into a man or woman of God's life. Amen. Because a lot of times, even in the Bible, it was customary that when you came before a prophet, even in the Old Testament, when you came before a prophet, you come with a gift. But not once, my Lord. So the thing about it is that you got folks charging for prophecies, charging for impartations. Don't get me wrong. I know that we got expenses now, praise God, and the expenses need to be met. And, you know, I'm not against treating a man or woman of God with a respect and giving them the best of the best, you know, because you know, you honor a person's sacrifice. You do. You see what I'm saying? You're supposed to honor a person's sacrifice. The Bible says give honor where honor is due. Amen. You get a pastor to come down, praise God, a man or woman of God, a true man or woman of God that have labored, amen, I believe that they should be treated with some respect. I do. They should be treated with some respect. Amen. But at the same time, that man or woman of God should be willing to make the necessary adjustments. They should be reasonable. And they should be willing to make the necessary adjustments to get that impartation out. Freely you have received, freely give too. Amen? You don't pay for prophecies. Y'all stop writing them, folks. Y'all stop writing Bernard Jordan with them free personal prophecies. Him and his little company of prophets. Y'all stop writing that. Amen. And yes, I'm going to continue to speak it until he stops. Because there's a lot of people of God that are being misled because of the accuracy of the gift. Let me tell you something. It's not about how accurate you are. Amen. Psychics are accurate. Why do you think they make so much money? Psychics are accurate. They are. You see what I'm saying? But what separates the true from the false is character, doctrine. Hello, motives, marriages, their personal life, how they conduct ministry, do they have integrity, do they keep their word, and et cetera, and so on and so on. These are the things that will determine whether one is true or false. The Bible says you will know them by their fruit, not their gifts, their fruit. We so busy saying that they're real because of their gift. Ooh, he can call on my bank account number. First of all, you call my bank account number out loud, I'm going to look at you crazy. Amen. Before you can get the first three letters out, I'm going to take my hand and put it over your mouth and tell you shut up. Don't you call my information out like that. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you like Apostle John Eckhart said, my bank account covered under the blood. You won't be able to call my name out, my bank account. I wish you would try to call my bank account number out loud. Amen. Amen. But seriously, though, all apostles are supposed to be able to operate in signs and wonders, in signs and wonders. Freely they have received, freely give, freely give, freely give. You shouldn't have to pay for an impartation. That's not of God. Amen. And if you come to the man of God or woman of God with a gift, that should be something that God has placed in your spirit to do, or something that is voluntarily, not something that is demanded. Amen. Not something that is demanded. Some folks abuse that. Some folks abuse that gift. Amen. Now check this out. We're going to go to verses 9 and 10. 9 and 10. It says, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for the worker is worthy of his food. The worker is worthy of his food. So don't worry about how you're going to be provided for. Just know that if you're out doing the work, the vision that God has given you, somebody needs to be encouraged right now. Because you're going through something financially in the ministry that God has called you. But listen to me. Listen to me. God gave you the vision. He's going to provide for it. Whatever God orders, he pays for. Amen? Whatever God orders, he pays for. And your provision is in the kingdom. Amen? And as long as you continue to walk and move and operate in the kingdom, provision will come. And provision is entitled to you. Why? Because you're in the kingdom. Certain things come with us being in the kingdom. Amen? I feel like there's a ministry leader that really needs to be encouraged with that. I felt that in my spirit. Amen? So what God orders, he pays for. Amen. What God orders, he pays for. Whatever you are sent to do, God will make the provision for it to happen. Amen. God will make the provision for it to happen. Let me go to verse 11 real quick. It says, Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go out into our household, greet it. Amen. Verse 13, if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Hello. I heard a man of God say this too one time. He said that the apostolic is committed to that which is worthy. Apostles go into territories and build relationships. Amen. You have a lot of these solo apostles that just all by themselves, and they feel like that they don't have to connect with nobody. They don't have to know nobody. You know, I know Jesus, and that's fine. They have no accountability, no nothing. Hello. Even the Apostle Paul had accountability. Peter was accountable. Amen. So you build relationships with whoever is worthy in that city. Someone who is honest, who has integrity, who loves God, who has a pure heart. Amen. Those who are actually doing the function of their ministry call. And so on and so on. Amen. Let me give you this example. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul talked about, you know, for 3 years after his conversion, for 3 years he consulted with none of the apostles except for James, the Lord's brother. Now, even though he did not consult with the other apostles, he still consulted with Apostle James. Amen. Accountability. You always going to need somebody. God's going to always put something that you need in somebody else. It's always going to be something that you need that God got locked up in somebody else. Amen. That go for me, you, all of us. Amen. He consulted with nobody but the Apostle James. Amen. You don't need to be connected with everybody just to write somebody. And I'm noticing that in this season too, the Lord is connecting like-minded apostolic and prophetic leaders together. Amen. Not just the apostolic and the prophetic, but even the whole fivefold ministry as a whole. The Lord is connecting right people together. Amen. Some may be lacking in some areas, amen, but whoever God is connecting you to Amen. They're going to have something that you need. They're going to have something that you need. Amen. Something. It's very important as us as leaders catch this, because we must understand that even as God begins to bring in the harvest and people begin to come in, amen, we may not have the grace to do everything, amen, that we need to do. Sometimes something is locked up in somebody else. Some things, honestly, I didn't receive. Some things I did not receive until I received an impartation. And most apostles don't want to humble themselves. They want to do the imparting instead of receiving impartation. They want to do the imparting. They want to do the imparting because they feel more important. But the apostolic is humble. Amen? That's not humble character. Somebody can always have something that you don't have. Amen. So the Lord is building worthy connections in this hour. Amen. Now, let's move on. Praise God. I hope and pray that I'm helping somebody. Amen. Hope and pray that I'm helping somebody. Let's go to verse 16. It says, "Behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Amen. Apostles walk in divine wisdom. Amen. Some of us need to grow in that area of wisdom. I know God is still growing me in that area, even now, even through all the things that God has taught me and all the revelation he's given me. Amen. He's still teaching me to be wise in those things. Amen. So an apostle constantly grows in wisdom. Amen. Apostles constantly grow in wisdom. It says, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." But my God, my Lord Jesus. So understand is that apostles go through persecution. Amen. We experience persecution. If you're an apostle and you're not being persecuted, I doubt if you're an apostle. If you're not being persecuted, I'm talking about for the right thing now. Not because you didn't cheat on your wife and slept with somebody. I ain't talking about that kind of persecution. I'm talking about for preaching the kingdom of God, for preaching the truth of God's word, amen, and your righteous stand. Apostles, we get persecuted because of our stand. Amen. We get persecuted because of our stand. Amen. But I bless God. Amen. I really do thank God for persecution because it lets me know that the kingdom is advancing. Amen. And that the enemy is losing ground. Amen. Even in verse 21, going down a little bit, then I'm going to go back up. It says, "Now brother will deliver a brother to death, and a father, his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." You will be hated. Jesus was talking to the apostles. He said, y'all going to be hated. Apostolic ministry is not a glamorous ministry. Why? Because we go against the grain. We go against the grain, amen? And I can speak personally for myself, and, you know, you all know that, you know, I like to use myself as an example whenever I can, amen, because I'm not going to tell you something that I have not lived or am not living or walking out myself, amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Apostles go against the grain. People who knew who I was, people who know me personally and knew who I was, know that everything I'm doing is out of my character. Amen. I was I was a quiet guy. I mean, I was the type of person where if you made me mad, I'll snap on you. But other than that, you know, I was a quiet dude, stayed to myself, mind my own business. I try to be peaceable with everybody and get along with everybody. That's what I tried to do. You know, I was never a controversial person until the Lord called me to preach the gospel. And Lord knows, I mean, my goodness. So much persecution, so much suffering, so much dying to yourself. Amen. All of that. When the Lord called me into the prophetic ministry and the apostolic ministry, my God. Amen. The persecution is ridiculous, especially when you're not doing what people want you to do. Folks just want you to be quiet and not be controversial and, you know, not say stuff like this or like that. Amen. But if you look at how Jesus handled it, how Jesus handled the sinners and how he handled the religious folks was two different things. Amen. You can even see it in the apostles, the way that they handled things. Jesus was loving and compassionate and gentle towards the sinners. But to them Jews, them religious folks who thought that they knew it all, he called them snakes, vipers, he rebuked them every chance he gets. Jesus wasn't too nice to them. Amen. So for all the church folks that won't these apostles that God is raising up now to be nice, you know, you can't talk about the man of God even though he preaching a false doctrine and cheated on his wife, missed still laying hands on people and parting them demons, molested, going around molesting folks, or going around charging for prophecies, you know, people don't want us to say nothing about that. Well, he's still a man of God. No, he ain't. The Bible says, touch not my anointing. That ain't the anointing of God in operation, they doing that. Amen. The world is looking at all this. And that's the part that grieves my heart the most. That's why the Lord has given me a burden, you know, for things like this because the world is looking. Amen. See, that's why God is raising up the apostolic now, to set this mess in order. And we will never see, we will never experience revival. We will never experience the true manifestation and the demonstration of the kingdom until the apostles step up into their place and set this mess in order. Because God will not come and manifest himself in a mess. Uh-oh, let me say that again. God will not manifest himself and show himself in a mess. Now, if God come to visit something like that, it's going to be judgment. And yes, the Bible does say that judgment begins in the house of God first. I remember everybody was quoting that scripture one time. Oh, the Lord said it's going to be judgment. Oh, they just don't know what they were saying. Amen. And everybody want to holler about we can't judge. Apostles are judges, man. Them apostles judged. The apostle Peter judged. Amen. He did. Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to the Holy Ghost, what did he say? Huh? For all the folks that say that we're not supposed to judge and we're not supposed to say nothing about the man of God who done cheated on his wife, and you probably his wife. I mean, I'm just saying, how long is all this going to continue? Amen. How long are we going to continue to defend this here? Amen. You can't keep defending this. You think God pleased with that? No, he is not. God is judging it. Amen. I'm going to tell you what the word judge means. Judge, if you look up the word judge, it means to distinguish It means to decide. It means to punish. It means to conclude, decree, call into question. So if you're doing something that ain't straight, I have the right as an apostle to question what you're doing. You preaching some old crazy off-the-wall doctrine that don't line up with biblical standards and that don't line up even with the principles of the Bible, I have a right as an apostle to question what you're teaching. Because you're teaching the people of God. You're releasing that stuff over people. Amen. Apostles have a heart for the spiritual well-being of the people. Amen. It means to distinguish. Really, it also deals with discernment. Declaring, holding what's being done or said up to biblical standards. Hello. I'm telling you what judging means. Holding something up according to biblical standards and decreeing it to be either of God or not God according to what's written in the Bible. Hello? I'm going to tell you something. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 7. When somebody was committing sexual immorality in the church, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not there present physically, but in the spirit, I'm there, and I have already judged that person. He said, get them out. So obviously this person has been warned before, and they did not heed the warning. So guess what? They got put out. Also, we're going to be in the time of the season now where apostolic churches are going to start putting folks out. Some of y'all look like that's cruel, that's not love, that's Bible. Amen. These were people that knew better, that knew that they were not supposed to do it, but kept doing it over and over and over again. And understand this. That's why the Bible says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You let one person get away with it. You let one person get away with sexual immorality. Come on, now that thing going to spread like wildfire. That thing going to spread like a cancer. And the next thing you know, everybody going to be popping up with babies out of wedlock. Yeah, you can't bring people off the streets into that. That's why most people that are not saved don't want to get saved and go to church. Because they see stuff like that. Don't you know that when people come in off the streets and come into a church, don't you know that they can peep game? Huh? It is so, for those of us who are so seeker sensitive and seeker friendly, oh, you know, everybody's not perfect and all falls short of the glory of God. Read it in its proper context. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. The Bible says that all have sinned, past tense, and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus came to remove all sin from our lives, not just some. I proved that to you in Scripture when I did a two-part teaching on spiritual perfection. It is because of the Bible commands us to be spiritually perfect. Amen. Because of that, the Bible commands us to be perfect. Amen. It's because of that commandment. The Apostle Paul held what they did up to the Word of God, and I believe even that part where it tells us to be spiritually perfect and how Jesus came to remove all sin from our lives and declared their act unrighteous. What did he say? Remove that wicked person. I've already judged it. That means I've already decreed it to be immoral. They've been given many chances. And they don't want to turn around. They've been coming here for a long time. They should already be delivered, healed, and set free by now. But they don't want to be. They want to hold on to worldly stuff, hold on to their mess, get them out. That's the problem. The reason why there's a whole bunch of contention in your church because you won't get the problem out. Amen. It's biblical. Folks be looking at me and listening to me like I'm talking Chinese or something, like I'm talking a foreign language. Amen. Didn't mean to go that far, but that was needed. Amen. So, there will be persecution, all right? We already established that. Apostles draw persecution because of the kingdom message and righteous stand. Go back up to verse 19 through 20. It says, but when they would deliver you, deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour which you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Apostles flow in divine revelation. Amen. Apostles flow in revelation. They know that God has given them what to speak at the right time, when it's time for it to be spoken. Amen. Even in the midst of the persecution, amen, God will continue to advance the kingdom, and the apostles will continue to flow in divine revelation. Matter of fact, apostles and prophets are revelatory giftings. I taught on that in part one. Amen. Apostles flow in divine revelation. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this is all Bible here, y'all. Amen. This is all your Bible. And also, let me read verse 26. It says, therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be be known. Whatever I tell you in the darks, speak in the light. And whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop. So they're saying, whatever you hear and receive, you say it. Y'all know I'm about to go somewhere with this, right? There's too many people trying to shut the mouths of the apostles and the prophets. Too many people that's trying to shut the mouths of God's mouthpiece in this hour. Amen. Whatever God give you, you speak it. Especially when you have gone through the process. Amen. God has molded and refined your character, because sometimes when your character not made, you will speak stuff in a certain way. Amen. And it may not be that time to speak it in that manner. Amen. And that can hurt and damage somebody. That's why an apostle must have wisdom as well. Apostles must flow in divine wisdom. Praise God. So, apostles flow in revelation. God is revealing the mysteries of the kingdom to the apostles and the prophets. The Bible talks about the unsearchable treasures. That means that this revelation here, you can't search it out. Amen. You cannot search out and dig up this revelation because it's unsearchable. So it has to be revealed to you by Christ. It has to be revealed to you by Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm going to go to verse 24 and 25. It says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Is it enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master? But if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more would they call those of his household? Apostles identify with the one who sent them, and that's Jesus. We're going to identify with Jesus. We're going to identify with his sufferings. Amen. We're going to identify with everything Jesus had to go through. Amen. Jesus died in the flesh, and we are to die to the flesh. Amen. He died on the cross in the flesh, and he also died to his flesh too while he walked the earth. Amen. So you're going to identify with Christ on every level. The Bible says he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. He learned obedience. Apostolic ministry is not a glamorous ministry. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy myself in the kingdom, amen. I'm enjoying my life that Christ gives, my life that Christ has given me, amen. I enjoy it. I do. Amen. You can even ask the ones that know me personally. I enjoy living for Christ, amen. But it comes with a lot of sacrifice too. Amen. Apostles literally laid down their lives. Amen. They literally laid down their lives. Everything. Apostles are not supposed to have a will except the will of the Father. Your will, our will is supposed to be so conformed to His will that His will becomes our will. Amen. Well, that should be with every believer, but I'm speaking specifically to the apostles right now. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go down to verse 34. It says, "Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth, but I come to bring a sword. Amen. For I'm come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Amen. "And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." You must count up the cost. Amen. There is a cost and a price to pay for the anointing of God upon your life. Before you become an apostle, you must understand the cost of walking in your calling. You're going to have to, God may require you to forsake family, friends, relationships. My God, the things that you want and desire the most, God gonna ask you for it. Amen. Anything that's gonna get in his way. I've seen some pastors and leaders don't even want to let their children go. And I've seen a lot of leaders fall like this too because they let the chair run rampant and do whatever it is that they want to do. They the apostle, but the chair not saved, not walking in the things of God. They all in and out of the office. And I'm talking about the grown and gone churn here. First of all, if your child is underage and they're very unruly and not walking in the things of God, you don't got no business running the house of God. You need to take care of your family first. Amen. You need to get some deliverance in your house before you go and try to bring deliverance in God's house. Amen. But friends, people who you are deemed to be very close to you, my God. So the thing about it is that there's a cost. Amen. A lot of those people that wanted to follow Christ, Christ told them, "Pick up everything and follow me immediately." The rich young ruler, he had good morals, but he didn't want to sacrifice nothing for the kingdom. He didn't want to lay down his livelihood, his riches, and follow God. So my question is, if you are in the ministry, amen, and you know God has called you, what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up? Some of y'all got career plans right now, and God's going to bust that up because that ain't what God called you to do. God is going to give some of you all a brand new career change. "Well, I really want to do this." God said, "No, but I'm calling you to this." Amen. Are you willing to forsake all? Are you willing to be the black sheep of your family? Some of you are already the black sheep, so that wouldn't make a difference to some. Amen. Are you willing to stand out and look crazy? I'm going to tell you something. The things that God has given me, I'm going to preach it if I'm the only one preaching it. And I get a lot of persecution. I catch a lot of slack, but that's cool. Amen. Some folks can't handle truth right then and there. But I must keep preaching the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus. I must keep preaching reformation and order to the body of Christ. Amen. I must. I must lay hands on the sick. I must cast out devils. Hello? I must. I have no choice. I've laid down my life. And God is still continuing to strip things away. Now, he's adding new things, praise God, but he's still taking things away from me. He's still cutting away stuff. Amen. The Bible says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow God daily. We're supposed to deny ourselves daily, die daily. The Bible tells us to die daily, too. Amen. So it is a daily thing. You got to be dead every day. So are you willing to die to everything that you know? The Lord knows. I thought I knew some stuff. And God was like, uh-uh. And the Lord started showing me, giving me the revelation of his kingdom. And the Lord, I began to realize how much I didn't know. How much I thought I knew, but I didn't know. Amen. I'm talking about even some things just recently God been giving me. And I thought I knew it in this area, and God showed me no. Either I had it wrong in some areas, or I just didn't have the full revelation. Dying to yourself daily. Should no real apostle have any flesh living? When I'm talking about the flesh, I'm talking about the old nature. The Bible describes the flesh as our old carnal nature. If you reach that place of apostleship, you ought to be dead to your flesh. That means certain stuff that you even want to do, you know you ain't supposed to be doing. You can't do it. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. I remember one day something, I think somebody did something that made me, that really upset me. And you don't know how bad I wanted to say something. And I got ready to open my mouth. And it was like I couldn't. The Holy Ghost took what I was getting ready to say and shut it down. See, that's when you know you got the Holy Ghost. See, because I didn't know what I was going what would come out of my mouth. And to me, it was a serious thing. It was a serious thing to me. I think it had some. It has something to do with my livelihood, and I don't play that. You know, and I was getting ready to say something, and the Holy Ghost would not let me speak, not a mumbling word. And he ended up working it out. He did. So when you're dead to your flesh, even the things, even when the old nature, even when the enemy tries to appeal or tempt the old nature or try to resurrect it and raise it back up again, when you dare to your flesh and when your life is governed by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, he's not going to let you do everything you try or want to do, especially if it's not according to the will of God. Amen. But folks don't want to die to their flesh. I know apostles now who don't fast. How you going to be an apostle and you don't fast? And I ain't talking about them little Rudy Pooh fasts either. I'm talking about straight water. See, some folks don't want to sacrifice like that. I'm talking about straight water. Amen. Can you fast without no food? Hello? I remember one time I did a straight fast like that. My God, I know God kept me because as much as I love to eat, the Lord shut down my appetite, told me don't eat. Amen. I didn't eat. Praise God. I remember he put me on a 10-day fast with no food. And that was, and when the Lord just told me, when the Lord told me that, I was like, because he told me the night of, and I had to do it the next day. And then after the 10 days was over, because he kept me through the fast, he really did. My God, he really sustained me through that. You know, after that, then he put me on another 5-day one. So I had 15 days with no food. Amen. Some of us can barely do one day without being exhausted. But I'm telling you something, when God orders it and when you're sustained by God, when your life is governed according to the Spirit of God, it's easy. That's how it was easy for Moses to be on the mountain for 40 days. Amen. I haven't done no 40 days yet, praise God. But the Lord graced me to do one, I'll do it. 40 days in the presence of the Lord. Amen. As an apostle, you're going to have to fast. You're going to have to fast. I read in the scripture yesterday where the Apostle Paul talked about how they endured all things and how, you know, they was fasting. Ain't being an apostle, no fast. I don't get that. That's crazy to me. Amen. So there is a cost to the call, amen. In the book of Luke, the 14th chapter, talks about how a king does not go to war until he first counts the cost of the war. Until he first counts the cost of going. So before you become an apostle, you must count the cost of your apostleship. Amen. Because I just read to you that it's going to cost you. It will cost you some friends, some family. It's going to cost you all that. I've seen apostles don't want to let their children go. I'm talking about their grown children. Let their children run loose in the church, do what they want to do, have them up there reading scriptures, all that other stuff, just as defiled and unholy, full of demons and everything else. And you're going to let them, and you're going to let your grown children with their unholy selves, instead of ministering deliverance to them or putting them in a position to receive deliverance ministry, you want to have them up there before the people. That's not God. You can't let go of your children and your family. That's strike number one. Sit down. You're not ready to be an apostle. You're not ready to run the house of God because God is going to require you to make sacrifices. My God, the Lord told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 to leave his family and his kindred behind and go to a place that the Lord will show him. He didn't even know where he was going. Some of us, the Lord told us that. We'd be like, huh? I ain't finna go where I'm going. God will tell you, I'm going to show you where you're going to go. And some of us would be like, uh-uh. No, you got to tell me where I'm going. You got to give me a destination. Some of us will actually tell God that, a destination. Now, if Abraham, who was a heathen when God called him, yes, he was a heathen when God called him. When God began to work in his life, God showed himself. Abraham responded and believed in faith and obeyed. That's why he was so blessed. If Abraham can do it, we have no excuse, especially those of us who've been going into the church for 5, 10, and 15 years. We have no excuse. And then we want to call ourselves an apostle, but we can't even obey God. We can't even let our children go when God said, let them go. That's not God. You're not, obviously you have not counted the cost. I'm telling you, I see this all the time, and it really aggravates me. Because first of all, you're wrong. Ah, oh, Lord have mercy. The Lord got me on this. First of all, you're wrong for letting your unsaved children operate in the church, period. They need to sit down. Amen. Sit them down somewhere. Amen. Anyway, didn't mean to get too much on that. Praise God. But it was well needed. So before entering into apostolic ministry, you need to sit down and count up the cost. Now let me read verse 40 real quick. Verse 40, it says, whosoever receives you receives me, and whosoever receives me receives him who sent me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And whosoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. And this still in the context of disciples being released into apostolic ministry. Okay, that word actually that word righteous. That word this disciple really is supposed to be apostle according to the original language. Amen. According to the original context of the scriptures when it was first written before it was translated into King James Version. Amen. So understand this, that there's a such thing as an apostolic reward or a prophet's reward too. Amen. To receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, amen, means that that prophet has been properly been commissioned. Amen. To receive a prophet in the name of a prophet means that that prophet that's being received have been properly commissioned by God, amen, through the prophetic accountability that they was accountable to. Now, most people don't agree with this. You know, all of us are supposed to be accountable to somebody. Amen. Don't mean that they rule as a tyrant over you. See, people don't understand this. People don't understand this, and I try to explain this to them all the time. The Apostle Paul and Timothy, even though the Apostle Paul trained Timothy and parted into his life, released him, God used the Apostle Paul to release him into the area of ministry that he was called to. Timothy was properly commissioned and trained. Amen. Even the Apostle Paul, he didn't conversate with none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Amen. But he had somebody in his life. Amen. Paul wouldn't be Paul even without Barnabas. Every Paul needs a Barnabas. Amen. Barnabas played a key role in his conversion. Amen. But understand this, that just because somebody may be an apostolic father in your life does not mean that they rule over the vision that God has given you. Let me say that again. I just want to correct that real quick, because you'll have a lot of people that say, well, you don't have a spiritual father, so you are a bastard in the spirit. That's kind of crazy to me, because most of the ones that say that, they are spiritual they're spiritual bastards themselves. Amen. But anyway, praise God. God is good. The Lord is good. Amen. So understand this, that, and I tell everybody this too, because I have people all the time that, you know, want me to cover their ministry, and, you know, wants me to cover them, and, you know, all this other stuff. And I tell them, I'm like, look, I first explained to them. I said, whatever vision God has given you is not for me to dictate to you how you handle and run the vision that God has given you. Amen. That's not my job. Amen. My job is to get behind your gifting and push you and impart into your life. Amen. And make sure you get to where God needs you to be. That's a real apostolic father. Amen. Not a tyrant. Amen. Some of these so-called apostolic fathers got these folks paying tithes to their ministry. Amen. And there's no impartation, no equipping, no nothing. Just a bunch of pimping and hustling. Amen. That's not God. That's not a true apostolic father. I believe in I believe strongly in accountability, and that every apostolic vessel should have other apostolic vessels that they're accountable to, more seasoned than them in their life, because the Bible does say iron sharpens iron. You need somebody to sharpen you. Like I said earlier, God would never give one person everything. Somebody will always have something that you need. God designed it that way, even with the Apostle Paul, amen, even with Timothy. Come on now. So accountability is a principle throughout the Bible. Elijah and Elisha, amen. That is a principle all throughout the Bible. Even apostles need other apostles to sharpen them. Amen. Even me as an apostle, I have an apostolic father in my life. Amen. But I thank God that he don't hound me down all the time, try to find out every little detail of the ministry. Amen. That's that Roman Catholic style leadership. That stuff came from Roman Catholicism. Amen. They took the principles of God and abused it. Amen. That's why now you have leaders who don't want to be accountable to other leaders because of the tyrant style of leadership of most of these leaders. Amen. The Apostle Paul gave Timothy, his spiritual son, instructions on how to run the household of God. But did you see Apostle Paul over there breathing down Timothy's neck, talking about do it like this, do it like that? No, I want you to do it like this. No, he gave him wisdom. He gave him impartation and wisdom from the Holy Ghost, and it was up to Timothy to apply it. Amen. So, but also now, us as ministry leaders, it's important that we, even though we are released by God and we're commissioned by God, amen, God uses other vessels to do it. Amen. Even when Paul and Barnabas was released into their apostleship, it was the prophets and the teachers, according to Acts 13, that received the instructions from the Holy Ghost during fasting and prayer to release Paul and Barnabas into their apostleship. Amen. So accountability is very important, but people abuse it. That's why people don't believe in it no more. Amen. Hallelujah. So, regardless of whether we agree with it or not, it is what it is. Amen. It is what it is. Hallelujah. So, if we receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, or an apostle in the name of an apostle that's being received, that means that they have been properly commissioned by God through that apostle or prophet they served under. So a prophet or an apostle has to be properly commissioned. Amen. So an apostle and a prophet that have been properly commissioned is received. Then the people receiving that apostle or prophet will receive that apostolic or that prophetic blessing and anointing from that apostle or prophet. And the same thing goes with the other ministry gifts too. Amen. So Matthew 10, that is an apostolic verse. Amen. That is an apostolic chapter. Amen. It is. Praise God. Now, I heard Chris Valentin make some key points. Amen. I really heard him make some key points. And I heard him one day, he was talking about apostles. He was talking about apostolic ministry. And one of the first things he said was that apostles are to conquer the land and culturize the people. And I was like, wow. And you know what? If you read in the Bible, those apostles took cities. They converted whole cities. Amen. People was added to the church daily. You know the church is operating in borderline failure right now? Because Jesus said, greater works will we do, right? It was supposed to get greater later, but it seemed to decline after the Roman Catholic Church got involved and started exalting the bishops over the apostles. And I'm going to talk about that apostolic succession in a minute, because that's a bunch of hoopla. That's a bunch of garbage. Amen. And I don't plan to try to be before you long and be long-winded and extended with it. Praise God. But I just want to enlighten you on some things. Praise God. See, understand this. Apostles are sent to a place to reproduce in that place where they were sent from. said again, apostles are sent to a place to reproduce in that place what you were sent from. See, our job is to transform cultures. Isn't that what the apostles did in the Bible? They change whole mindsets. Amen. If the church's goal is not to transform cities, they're not apostolic. We're called to transform cities. I say that again. We're called to transform cities. I heard Chris Valentine say this one time too. He said that the laws follow core values. Core values come from mindsets. Sometimes we try to change the law without first changing the mindset. And that was deep to me. You know, that blessed my soul right there. And that truly enriched my spirit. Because if you look at it, when the apostles preached the kingdom and they demonstrated the kingdom, amen, the people's perspective changed. Amen. Apostles change mindsets. The goals of apostles should be to change cultures through changing the way that people think. Amen. You change the way people think by teaching them and demonstrating the kingdom of God, proclaiming, preaching, and teaching the kingdom of God, and demonstrating it as well. Amen. Hallelujah. So with the restoration of apostolic ministry comes reformation. It comes change. It comes restructuring. Amen. But if the apostles are not in their proper place, then this can't happen. Because only an apostle is graced to do this. Amen. Apostolic ministry is very important. Amen. Apostles are mentioned, I believe, over 70 times in the New Testament. It's used more than any other ministry gift. Amen. It's used more than any other ministry gift. Now, the word pastor is only mentioned once. How is it that the pastor gets more recognition than the apostles? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against pastoral ministry. Like I said earlier, pastoral ministry is very vital and is very needed. Pastoral ministry is like the apostle's best friend. Amen. And as being an apostle, I know. Amen. Pastoral ministry. Very important. But it's only mentioned once. Pastors, the pastoral ministry cannot be effective without apostolic ministry, impartation, and input. Amen. And I want to clear something up, too. If you look at the term, the word elder, bishop, and pastor, you read their biblical functions, all of it is the same thing. Yes, I'm going to say that again. All of it is the same thing. Elder, bishop, and pastor are terms used to describe three different functions of the same leader. Amen. The bishop derives the function of giving oversight. The pastor describes the function of feeding the sheep. An elder is describing the fact that these people should be spiritually mature. Amen. They should be spiritually mature. Amen. Matter of fact, let me go to Philippians 1 real quick. I'm finna prove something. I'm finna prove something right now. Philippians 1 and 1. Philippians 1 and 1. Philippians 1 and 1. Hey, amen. I'm gonna show y'all something real quick. There you go. Philippians 1 and 1. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. bishops with an S. He's addressing the church now. Amen. He's addressing the church of Philippi with the bishops in one church now. Bishops, plural. S, that means it's more than one in one church, right? The bishops and the deacons, right? The first church of Philippi had more than one bishop, all right? Now, I'm going to go to Acts 20. Oh, yeah, y'all know I'm going to bust out these scriptures on y'all in case y'all say I'm lying. Amen. I got folks on here come in the chat room and all that say I'm lying. Even after the scripture backs up what I'm saying. Amen. I don't claim to know it all, but I know this. Praise God. Acts 20, let's see, verse 17. Now we're going to look at elders. It says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. The reason why I read that one verse is to show you something. Elders, plural, right? Plural. All right? And if you look at verse 28, now check this out. This one really going to get you. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers and to shepherd. Come on now. The church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So in this scripture, in the context of this scripture, he's talking to the elders, right? He said, for take heed to the flock of God, whom the Holy Ghost has made them overseers. The word bishop means overseer, right? Look it up. You look up the word bishop, it means overseer. It's the same word for the word bishop. To shepherd the church of God. Pastors are what? Shepherds of the flock. That's proof right there that bishop, elder, and pastor is the same function. Amen? All of it got the same function. The words are just used interchangeably to describe the different functions of the same ministry gift. Amen. So the whole idea of the bishop is over the pastor and the pastor is over the elder, that's not it. Amen. We have structured our churches. We've structured our churches unbiblically, but we're so used to this type of structure. Amen. And we've been going along with it for years and years and years that it's just become something that we have become accustomed to. And when anybody comes and brings truth about it, you know, we say that it's not of God. We're going to keep our tradition. Amen. And then we wonder why a church is only half effective and not all the way effective. Amen. Because you have people in the wrong place. Amen. And then when the people come in, you have people in a position that they're not graced for. Ministering in those positions, and it could really end up hurting and damaging somebody. So the reason why I preach on leadership so much and I teach on leadership so much is because if the foundation is jacked up, then whatever you try to build is going to crumble. Now I'm going to read something else to you. 1 Timothy 5 and 17, it says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and in doctrine. Okay? So it's talking about elders again. Once again, bishops, I already proved to you one scripture that bishop, elder, and pastor is the same function. I'm getting ready to prove to you in another scripture that bishop, elder, and pastor is in the same function. It is the same function. Amen? Go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Now I just told you, I just showed you in Acts 20 where bishop, elder, and pastor are the same function. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, the elders who are among you, who I exhort, am also a fellow elder, witnesses of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock, he's telling the elders. Shepherd the flock. Amen. Shepherd the flock, which is among you, serving as overseers. Amen. Serving as overseers. Bishop means overseer, right? Pastor means shepherd of a flock. not by compulsion, but by willingness, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not being as lords over those over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Amen. And I don't got time to get real, real deep in the pastoral ministry because it's very deep. Amen. I don't got time to get too much into it. Amen. But I'm going to touch on it as much as I can. Amen. But I'm saying all this to make a point. Amen. So we see here that elder, pastor, and bishop, same function, and it was more than one in each church. All right? It was more than one in each church. Every church should have more than one pastor in it, okay? One pastor is not going to do it. And as far as the whole thing with the pastor being the senior leader over the church, that's not biblical, that's not scripture. Amen. That was always an apostolic or prophetic function. Most pastoral leaders have an apostolic call upon their lives. Most people that's calling themselves pastors are really, according to their call, they are apostles. Amen. They are apostles. Amen. Either they're apostles or they're prophets. Amen. And before I get off this line, I'm going to try to get into the different types of apostles and prophets. Amen. Because that's very important too. But I really want to clear up the confusion with the pastor and the apostle, because both ministries are very important. Both ministries are very vital to the body of Christ. Amen. But they must be in their proper place in order to be effective. Amen. And once again, a lot of people ask me all the time, you know, people write me on emails and Facebooks and all that other stuff and ask me, what does this have to do with winning souls? We're supposed to be out here winning souls instead of debating over this. No, I'm not debating. I'm just giving you the word of God. Amen. And if our foundation is not solid, whatever we try to build is going to crumble. Amen. You don't want people to come in to a church that has a shaky foundation. That's why a lot of people are in churches now, and there's no deliverance. There's no restoration. A lot of them dealing with stuff. Amen. They still struggling with sin in their life. Amen. And they can't get free because certain ministry gifts are not in place. Certain ministry gifts are not released to its fullest capacity. Amen. And then you got people that's holding certain titles like evangelists, and they're not performing the ministry function. If you are an evangelist, your ministry function is outside of the church. You have nothing to do with what's going on the inside of the church building. Your ministry is out there in the streets where the lost are. You're supposed to be bringing them into the house of God, where the pastor should be where the pastors should be in position to receive them and nurture them and care for them. Amen. And then the apostle worries about, the apostle's main concern is about what kind of a believer or Christians they are becoming. Amen. The pastors nurture their wounds, minister to their spiritual needs. Amen. And then the apostolic leader, amen, grounds them and the truth to make sure Christ is the foundation of their personal walk with Jesus. Amen. And even the prophetic ministry is very important because these people need to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. These people need to hear the word of the Lord. They've been broken. They've been scarred by life. Amen. And they need a word from God that's going to change their situation, that's going to change their heart. They need the secrets of their heart revealed. A lot of them dealing with hurt and pain that they have hidden. Amen. And they need these ministry gifts functioning in its fullest capacity. They need the teacher, amen, to teach them the basic principles of the word of God and teach them the basic fundamentals of the kingdom of God. Amen. So understand that all ministry gifts are needed. Amen. All ministry gifts are needed. Not just because you are a teacher don't mean that you're not important. You are important. Amen. You're just as needed as the apostle. Amen. I love listening to teachers teach. I do. The word of God, and especially when they come in with their prophetic revelation. Amen. I love hearing them teach. All ministry gifts are needed. Hallelujah. My Lord. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Now, back to the difference between apostle and pastor, okay? First of all, during the second century, understand this, y'all, during the second century, churches came to have a single bishop. There was a single bishop over every church. See, after the apostolic move kind of died off a little bit, you see, that's when the churches started getting out of order. That's why the apostles, see, apostleship, apostle, the apostolic anointing maintains order. Maintains order. All right? It's just like the governors, they make sure that the laws are straight. Police officers, they enforce the laws. You need law enforcement. You need somebody that's going to enforce these laws, because you're going to always have somebody that's going to break it and go try to spread that cancer around. Amen. So that's the same thing in the kingdom. We always need somebody, amen, to enforce the laws of God. And it just so happened to be the apostles that God chose to do that. Amen. You need somebody to remind the people. The people need to be reminded of the principles of the kingdom of God. They need to be reminded of the laws of God. They need to be reminded of what God requires of them. Sometimes people get off track. Everybody's not the same. Now, I'm getting ready to show you that because of the decline of apostolic ministry, folks start getting out of hand. Amen. Folks start getting out of hand because of the decline of apostolic ministry. Second century A.D., churches came to have a single bishop. And then that bishop came to exercise oversight over nearby churches, as well as the city church, so that the territory became known as a diocese or a see. You ever heard of the Holy See? That's where it came from. It came from this right here. Amen. Bishops of churches that were founded by the apostles were said to be in succession to the apostles, and hence their teachings were to be held as authentic and law. A lot of stuff that they added was not even biblical. And some of us call ourselves apostles. We want to dress like them, had a little goofy little fish hats. Amen. We want to have these 3, 4, 5 different layers of robes and stuff like that. We want to walk around with these crazy staffs, these old shepherd's rods. We want to look just like the Pope. We want to feel important like the Pope. We got folks kissing our rings and all this other garbage, not knowing that all this stuff came from paganism. All this stuff came from man's doctrine. Man added all this, man. Amen. Modern Christianity is so paganized, it's a shame. We got all this Roman Catholic stuff, and we putting all the emphasis on the building and all the little sacraments of the church. We putting all, I'm going to tell you something, your building ain't anointed. You're supposed to be anointed. You are the church. Amen. The church, the people make up the church, not the building. Amen. It's the people. If you look up the definition of the word church, it means called out ones. It didn't say called out building. Amen. And I'd rather confess my sins to God than confess my sins to a priest. Amen. Because the Bible says I am a priest. I'm a royal priesthood. Amen. Not only do I have a priesthood, but I'm royalty too. Amen. I'm a ruling citizen in the kingdom of God. I don't got to confess my sins to you all the time. I don't got to tell you every little detail of my life. Amen. Now, that was a little bit of frustration in a good way. Amen. So, we see that because of the decline of apostolic ministry, these bishops rose up and started adding their own little twist of stuff. And because they succeeded the apostles, they figured that they could put a new twist on stuff because they had the authority of the same apostles who wrote the Bible. Amen. I hope y'all follow me. Their teachings was held as law. Even though what the early apostles wrote, amen, the Roman Catholics, they just added their little stuff to it. And it still was considered as law. A bunch of foolishness. Now, around 400 A.D., the bishop of Rome began to assume extraordinary authority over the other bishops. So he started claiming supremacy over the other bishops. Come on now. He started claiming supremacy over the other bishops. My Lord. So the Bishop of Rome, that's who we know as the Pope today. Amen. All other bishops deified. Kiss his ring and everything else. That's nasty. I don't know where your hand or your ring been. I wish I would kiss your ring. Amen. I believe, if I kiss the Pope ring right now with all that charismatic witchcraft, all my lips probably burn off. Bunch of mess. But us, as so-called Christians, we adopt this stuff. Every time somebody get ordained as a bishop, they got to have this big old purple ring on. Now the apostles are doing it now, the so-called apostles, because there ain't no real apostles. The so-called apostles doing it now. You get your big old bishop ring, get your big old apostle ring, now you get a ring for being an apostle. Amen. Keep your ring. A ring don't make me no apostle. Amen. Bunch of mess. See, the scriptural meaning of bishop changed because it has often given man holding unscriptural authority and positions in the church. And matter of fact, when the King James Bible was translated, some of their terms were added. Amen. Some of their terms was added. That's why it takes the Holy Ghost to really begin to discern certain things that are written in the Bible. Because they begin to use different wordings according to their traditions, like the word bishop. The word bishop was not written in the original translation of the scriptures. I have a Jewish Bible. You know what the Jewish Bible calls a bishop? A congregational leader. That's the same thing as a pastor or a shepherd or an elder that's amongst the children of God. Amen. That's amongst the church. They are leaders and examples to the body. That's the proper context. Not bishop. Bishop was something that was added, and you got everybody talking about, God called me to be a bishop. Are you sure? God called me to be a bishop. I'm a bishop. Amen. Chest poked out and everything. Proud to be a bishop. So you proud to be something that's made up. Lord have mercy. I'm going to get in trouble. Amen. But as long as I ain't in trouble with God, I'm good. Amen. I know that messed up some folks' theology. There's supposed to be bishops, so-called, in every church. There's supposed to be pastoral ministry in every church. All right? Let me just go through some scriptures real quick. Amen. Y'all can't never say I don't read the Bible. Y'all can't never say that I don't give you scripture. Amen. Y'all can't never say that. Oh, because I'm going to give you a scripture to back up everything that's being said. Acts 14:23. It says, so when they had appointed elders in what? Every church. And prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. All right? Amen. So elders, and I told you elder, bishop, and pastors, the same function, right? They was in every church. And I already read to you Acts 20, 17, Philippians 1:1. Let me go to Titus. Titus 1 and 5. I'm going to go to Titus 1 and 5. Titus 1 and 5, and it says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you." Elders, bishops, pastors, same function. I already proved that in Scripture. Now, not to mention the historical facts I just gave you. I proved it in Scripture. King James Version, I proved it. Amen? So the thing about it is that elders were to be appointed in every church. And Titus was an apostle. Yes, he was, because apostles set in order. He said, "I left you in Crete that you should set these things in order." Amen. Folks don't want to believe that. And folks be saying Timothy was a bishop. I don't know where to get that mess from. Amen. Timothy was an apostle. You can tell his function because he set the bishops in order. Amen. James 5 and 14. It says, "Is anyone lacking among you? Let him call for the elders," with the plural, "the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Just because you're an elder, pastor, bishop, same function, don't mean that you're not supposed to have a healing and deliverance ministry too. You're still supposed to be able to cast out devils and lay hands on the sick too, as well as pastor the flock. Thank you, Jesus. So if you are, Lord, I'm getting in trouble. But if you are a pastor in the ministry, you are supposed to be able to minister deliverance and healing. I don't get that if you don't. So, a lot of our church stuff, the way that we speak and all our little apostolic, prophetic terminologies and languages, all that stuff wrong. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, and I like what Apostle John Eckhart said, too. And a lot of this information I've obtained through one of his books. It's called Apostles or Bishops. I highly recommend that. I highly recommend that book. And yes, I do read books, and I do draw from other folks' revelation too. Amen. As well as the revelation God gives me. Amen. I'm not prideful to say that, you know, I obtain all this by, you know, just revelation from God. Some things God will give you, and some things you have to draw from somebody else who also received revelation from God. I don't get these prideful folks that say that they obtain everything, you know. But anyway, amen. Ain't nothing wrong with picking up a book and reading. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Every once in a while, you ought to pick up a book and read something. But anyway, Apostle John Eckhart has said this too. He said, "Words such as clergyman, layman, reverend, priest, bishop convey ideas contrary to what Jesus Christ and his apostles taught." Amen. So all these words, reverend, bishop, priest, clergyman, layman, all that stuff, that's not correct terminology. Amen. Say that one more time, because I kind of liked that. Words like clergyman, layman, reverend, Lord, the Baptist is going to try to have my head for that one. Amen. Priests, bishops convey ideas contrary to what Jesus Christ and his apostles taught. See, the apostolic ministry, Lord have mercy, declined when bishops started rising up. And you see it. You see it now. All these bishops up right now, I'll never forget. One time this bishop tried to get me to be under him, right? He tried to get me to join his little network. First thing I'm looking at is the fact that he's a bishop. That's the first thing I looked at. First of all, God didn't tell me to join his network, but I'm looking at the fact that he's a bishop, first of all. And he actually had the nerve, You see what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. I'm not prideful in my position or my gift. I will work with anybody. Hell, one thing, that's why I'm not necessarily tied down to an apostolic or prophetic clique. I mean network. I'm sorry. I'm not tied down to these old networks. Praise God, because I believe in networking and working with any and everybody who's in the kingdom doing the work. Amen. I will be a part. I don't mind being a part of fellowships just to help out. Praise God, but I'm not going to be limited to where I can't fellowship with another brother or sister. Amen. That may be in need of my assistance somewhere else. But this Bishop Chatter, contact me, holler about a year, you know, won't you be under my network? The first thing I'm looking at the fact that he's a bishop. And I'm like, he actually got the nerve to say to another apostle, be under my network. But now they glorify the bishop higher than the apostle, and that's not even scripture. And years ago, I had somebody that actually tried to argue that the bishop was the highest office in the church. Amen. And we all know that ain't God, because I just proved to you that bishop was not even in the Bible in the beginning. I'm talking about in the original manuscripts. Now, they might have replaced the word pastor in that particular scripture or in those particular scriptures with bishop. Amen. Because they elevated and exalted the position of bishop higher than any other ministry gift. Amen. And bishop is just what it is. It's an office. That means that you can be elected as a bishop. You got everybody, they overseeing 20 churches and they're a bishop. Give me a break. Amen. Then we wonder why the world laugh at us. Amen. We wonder why the world laugh at us and call us a joke. A lot of them know our history more than we know it. Amen. Let me stick to the script. Amen. The doctrine of apostolic succession is heresy. Roman Catholic Church teach that the bishops, the Bishop of Rome, which is the Pope, has inherited the authority of the Apostle Peter. That is a hot mess. Amen. But they teach that for real. This doctrine really counts out every other apostle who is not in the direct line of bishops from the time of the Apostle Peter. The only thing about that is, what about the Apostle Paul? What about James, the Lord's brother, who didn't even get converted until after the resurrection of Christ? He didn't walk with the original 12. Hello, James. The Apostle Paul said, I didn't convert with no other flesh and blood. I didn't confer with the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. He was an apostle too. What about Timothy, Paul, Silas, Barnabas, who the Bible strictly declares Paul and Barnabas as apostles? My God. They didn't walk with the 12. Huh? So we know that apostolic succession is a lie. It is a bald-faced lie, and if you believe it, I'm going to pray for you. Amen. It excludes all the other apostles. So we see that with the decline of apostolic ministry came the rise of bishops. Amen. The church entered into a period of decline. We see that through history. And this type of leadership of the church actually became corrupt because it became more of a political thing. You have politicians because see the church was the most powerful thing back then. It was. So the thing about it is that you have men that wanted that power. So they weasel their little way into the little bishopric. Amen, so that they can gain more power and influence. I'm going to tell you something. You know the Roman Catholic Church is a demon. You know why? Because if you go to Rome, Italy, you see them cardinals and them bishops outside smoking cigarettes. Oh, but you Hail Mary, Mother of Grace, and you acknowledge Jesus every once in a while, and your Hail Mary can't deliver you from cigarettes? Amen. Let me stick to the script. Amen. Let me stick to this here. Amen. I'm going to wrap this thing up in a little bit. Get ready to wrap it up. Praise God. But understand this, that the church became corrupt as men used ungodly means to rise to the positions of power in the church. Bishop became an appointed position of favoritism and other things beside the anointing. Beside the anointing. And like I said before, they were corrupt. A lot of them was just politicians. They were, for real. So with the decline of apostolic ministry came the decline of apostolic power. I'm going to tell you something. Signs, wonders, and miracles are supposed to follow the apostles. 2 Corinthians 12 and 12. Amen. My Lord Jesus. So once again, pastors are supposed to be in every church. The bishop is not the highest in the church. I'm sorry. Sorry to burst your religious bubble. But it's true. Amen. Now, if you read in 1 Timothy 3, it gives the qualifications of pastors. Amen. Elder, bishop, overseer, presbyter, whatever. Same thing. Amen. So Paul is instructing Timothy concerning the church government. Timothy was functioning as an apostle. Amen. Timothy was not a bishop. So stop saying that lie. Stop teaching that lie. Timothy was not a bishop, okay? Apostles are first, but are treated last. And you can find that in 1 Corinthians 4 and 9. He said, even though the apostles are first, we're treated last. See, the thing about it is that apostolic ministry is not a glamorous ministry. It's not a popular ministry, okay? It's not popular. That's why a lot of people don't really want to walk in the depths of the apostolic call. And nowadays, you got people that want the title but don't want the suffering. Come on now, they don't want the depths of the flesh that come with this type of ministry. Amen. At first, it was glamorous to be a bishop, which it still is. Because, see, the world recognized bishop because bishop originated from the world. It originated with the Roman Catholic Church, and that's about as worldly as you can get. But, see, apostolic ministry, true apostolic ministry, is not popular. It started to become a popular thing in the church, in the little modern charismatic church world now. You even got Baptist preachers trying to be apostles now. And there was one point in time where you would never even heard of an apostle or prophet in a Baptist church. Amen. But you have born Baptist, die Baptist preachers. Amen. They are becoming apostles now. And I think that's a mess because if you're going to become an apostle, being that the apostolic anointing, I proved the scripture last night that the apostolic anointing breaks denominational barriers. If you're a real apostle, you need to get that Baptist mess off your Lord, get that Baptist stuff off your church. I'm trying to talk nice, y'all. I am. But stuff like this gets me because the world is looking at how divided we are, denomination this, denomination that. They look up our history and see how messed up we are, amen, and where we came from and where we're at now. And they know what the Bible say too. And they see that we ain't living it. That's why they don't respect us. Amen. You got stomped down, hard down Satan worshipers that know more scripture than you. Hallelujah. Amen. And really, the bishops back then became more powerful than the rulers. Don't you know that the Pope is more powerful? The Pope is the most powerful man, almost the most powerful man in the world. He got Queen Elizabeth status. I'm serious. People bow down to him, kiss his ring, probably kiss his little nasty feet too. I've seen pictures of people, these priests being ordained, and they have to bow down and lay prostrate before the Pope. You don't bow down and lay prostrate before nobody but Jesus. Amen. They try to bow down to the Apostle Peter. Apostle Peter say, hold up. He hurried up and made him get up. Amen. All this stuff began when Constantine recognized Christianity as the religion of the Roman Empire. The bishop's office eventually became a position of power and preeminence. Most leaders like the term bishop because it's recognized by the world. Apostles have always been persecuted and hated by the world system. The world except bishop. You notice in all these little church movies, amen, if he ain't a pastor, he a bishop. All these little church movies, all these little worldly church movies, amen, he a bishop. But you'll never find no apostle up in there. Amen. I'm just being real, y'all. Amen. See, apostles know what it means, knows what it means to suffer and be treated as last. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:9. Apostles, even though apostles are first, they're treated last. That's why folks are more comfortable with bishop, because folks deify bishops. Amen. And I just proved to you, not only in Scripture, but even through history, that bishop was added. It was never the original it was never the original word. Amen. So with the decline of apostolic ministry, we see what's the result of the decline of apostolic ministry. Amen. See, that's why God bringing it back now. Amen. That's why in this season, see, there's some apostles, there's some real apostles right now that God is really making right now, because a lot of the ones that are out now, they're not the real deal. They're not it. Amen. A lot of them are still underdeveloped, and it has nothing to do with your age, because you got some old folks who call themselves apostles, and they are still underdeveloped. They're not seasoning the apostolic call. Some of them don't even prophesy. How you going to be an apostle and don't flow prophetically? I don't understand that. Amen. Every apostle should be able to flow prophetically. Amen. Every apostle should be able to do that. I mean, my goodness. But anyway, there's some apostles now, old and young, but I really see that a lot of them are going to be young. Amen. Old and young, that's being raised up right now. It's like they are in hiding right now, but the Lord is preparing them to be revealed and unveiled to the nations. Amen. To this nation. Amen. Because understand this, that God always have a ram in a bush, and with one won't do, another one will. Amen. Satan is losing ground. He's very afraid. Amen. He's very afraid of the apostolic anointing. That's why he does everything he can to try to smother it. He hates the prophetic and he hates the apostolic. He hates the prophetic and he hates the apostolic, so he does everything he can to try to smother it. Amen. And if he can't pervert it, he'll try to smother it and kill it. Amen. But first he looks to pervert it, because you might be a vessel that he can use if he can pervert you. Amen. So don't y'all be letting folks pimp your gift. Amen. You speak what God say and what God say only. Don't let nobody turn you into a psychic. I don't know who that was for. But somebody that's listening to me, do not let nobody turn you into a psychic. Amen. You are a prophet, not a psychic. Amen. Hallelujah. And one last thing I wanted to address too, the fact that even in apostolic ministry, understand this, that all apostles are not the same. Amen. I'm going to say that again. All apostles are not the same. We don't function the same. We don't have the same assignment. We're not called to the same region. None of that. Prime example, if you look at Paul, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. See, these are two main types of apostles that are operating now. Amen. You have the Peter type and the Paul type. Okay? I'm pretty sure there's more, but you know, those are the only two I can identify at the time. Peter was considered to be an apostle to the Jews, right? Even though he did initiate ministering to the Gentiles, he was the first one to do it. Amen. But the majority of his ministry was to the Jews. Matter of fact, let me read, let me bust out another scripture real quick. Amen. For somebody to try to find fault that I don't have no scripture. Amen. Let me go to Galatians 2. Go to Galatians 2 real quick. And this is going to confirm what I say about Peter and Paul. Amen. Galatians 2. I'm going to start at verse 8. It says, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me towards the Gentiles. Amen. So that proves that Peter was for the circumcision. He was for the Jews. He was sent. He was commissioned and sent as an apostle to the Jews. And Paul was sent and commissioned as an apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. It says, for he who worked effectively. Okay, I just read that. And when James, Cephas, and John, whom seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that God had given me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, and that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Amen. So all apostles are not the same. We don't have the same assignment. We're not called. All of us are not even called to the same people. Amen. We're not. Peter was more, and understand this too, Peter was more of a stationary apostle. Even though he did travel and go places, the majority of his ministry was right there at Jerusalem. I'll say that again. The majority of his ministry was in Jerusalem. Amen. You can look it up and read it for yourself. As versus to Paul. Now, Paul was considered to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul's main mission was to take the gospel of the kingdom to the Gentiles, right? Because, and I check this out, because of his extensive travel, he didn't have time to be stationary as a local pastor. Not one time do you see Apostle Paul as a local pastor. I just burst somebody's bubble right there because everybody say all apostles have to pastor. No, they don't. Apostles, we establish churches. And who is the church? The called out ones, the people of God. Amen. Folks don't like that. Amen. You say you're an apostle, first thing that they ask you is, where's your church and how many churches do you cover? They talking about building-wise, not people-wise, building. Amen. Apostles, we establish the people of God in Christ. We make sure that their relationship with Jesus Christ is there. We make sure that they are established. Come on now. We make sure that they are established, properly established in Christ, and that we make sure that no other doctrine creeps in on God's people. Hello? We keep the doctrine of the gospel of the kingdom pure. I told you all yesterday that we defend the gospel. I proved it in Scripture. We apostles defend the gospel. Amen. We raise up leaders to govern God's people. We establish God's people in Christ. The Bible says that no other foundation should be laid than that of Jesus Christ. It's talking about a person's life, personal relationship with God. Their whole walk should be founded upon Christ. And the apostles enforce that. Amen. I know an apostle right now that will tell you flat foot to your face, I'm an apostle, not a pastor. Well, the apostle can... well, the apostle can touch all five and stuff like that. Let me tell you something. That could be true. But the Apostle Paul, check this out now. There's a scripture that says that the Apostle Paul said that he was an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher to the Gentiles. Barnabas, before he was released as an apostle, he was a prophet. Amen. It is possible for the apostles to touch all the other gifts. But whatever your set ministry is, that's what you walk in. Amen. There are different types of apostles. Let me get into this. I love this. All right? There are different types of apostles, and I'm going to prove it to you with different ministry gifts that are in the Bible, ministry leaders that's in the Bible. You have what I call prophetic apostles. Every apostle is supposed to be able to prophesy. But you have some of those apostles that are just so deep in the prophetic. You have them, you have these apostles that have strong prophetic mantles on their life. Biblical example, the apostle John who wrote the book of Revelation. Huh? He was an apostle. But you see the visions and the visitations of the Lord that he received. Amen. You can clearly see the prophetic and the apostolic fused together, resting upon his life. Amen. You have evangelizing prophets. You do. I mean, apostles. You do. Matter of fact, Philip, the evangelist, amen, church history shows that he later on became an apostle, Philip, amen, the one who had the daughters that prophesied, yeah. Philip the evangelist, who every evangelist should pattern themselves after, amen. It's not in the Bible, but is mentioned throughout church history. Amen. Early church history, that he later on became an apostle. You have shepherding apostles. You have apostles like Peter. Amen. When Jesus first came to Peter, you know, after Peter denied him, he said, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep." And also in 1 Peter 5, Peter was addressing the elders who he said he also was an elder. And that's another reason why, too, Peter was probably so stationary. Amen. Because he was an apostle, he walked in the authority of an apostle, he prophesied and everything else, but he had a strong shepherding mantle and grace upon his life. Amen. And then you have apostles like the Apostle Paul, who would be considered a teaching apostle. Amen. In Acts 13, in the church at Antioch, it said that the church was ran by prophets and teachers. Amen. And amongst them was Barnabas and Paul. Amen. So the thing about it is, in the book of Timothy, he talks about how he was an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles. So that shows that the Apostle Paul had a strong teaching gift, even though he prophesied, he evangelized, and all that. Praise God. And the Apostle Paul was only stationary for a short while. He probably stayed somewhere 3 years and then kept going. Why? Because it was not meant for him to be stationary. As versus to the Apostle Peter, he was more stationary than he was mobile. So the thing about it is that all apostles are not the same. Our assignment is not the same. Our commissioning, as far as what we're called to do, is not the same. Amen. I know it's a shock to some of y'all. Praise God. Because we're only taught a one-sided revelation to apostolic ministry. We're only taught one-sided. Amen. All apostles are not the same. I don't know how many times I have to stress that. Amen. Peter was stationary. The apostle Timothy, he was stationary. You don't hear nothing about Timothy traveling after a while. Huh? You don't hear nothing about Timothy traveling. Amen. You don't hear too much about Titus traveling no more after they was planted. Timothy and Titus, you don't hear too much about them being traveling no more after they was planted. See, because understand this. See, Peter was called to get the Jews straight. He was called to the ones that supposedly had already knew God. But he was called to maintain and manage and keep that in order. Don't you know that if a store, see, I know all about this because for my occupation, I do marketing for the job. So therefore, I go and I bring business, okay, to the job, okay. I'm gonna give y'all a little insight into my personal life, just a little bit, this area. I go and I bring income for my job. I bring business. I've been one of the ones given charge over that, as versus to the people that's already at the job. They maintain the store and maintain the business that already is there. So that's the same thing with the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul. Peter maintained, come on now, and managed, come on now, the church that was already established and the people that already knew him, while the Apostle Paul was bringing more in, come on now, and getting them established. Are y'all feeling me? Getting them established in Christ and then managing the ones that are fresh and new and that first came in. I believe prophetically that we have some that are called to manage what's already been established. And also, my God, manage those that have been established, and also God is raising up some now to manage those that are freshly coming in. My God. Did y'all just catch what I just said? Amen. Did y'all just catch that? So all apostles are not the same. We're not the same. So just because I don't do what you do, don't mean that you knock me for doing what I do. Amen. Just because you don't pastor a local church don't mean you're not an apostle. Now, you must have some fruit of an apostle, but that's not the only function of apostolic ministry. We're so big on a building. We're so big on having a building. My God. When the building is not the church, it's the people. We don't get that. Amen. You can have a gathering in your house and be just as effective as you would be if you had a building. We got to stop trying to pattern ourselves after what everybody else is doing and pattern ourselves according to the pattern and the blueprint of the Word of God and according to the revelation that God has given us. Amen. So all apostles are not the same. Praise God. Amen. But I bless the Lord on tonight. I thank God for what he's doing. Amen. And I know this too, that apostles are to establish, build, train, equip, and with equipping also comes impartation, and also release too. It's supposed to release the church of the living God, which is the people of God, into their assignment in the kingdom of God. And once again, who is the church of the living God? The people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I truly thank God on tonight for the word that went forth. My God, he's been so good. Amen. I'm getting ready to unmute the lines. Get ready to unmute the lines now. God has just been doing wonders lately. Amen. And I just thank God for it. Amen. I'm glad that you all hung in there. Amen. I see guest 10. Whoever guest 10 is, they've been amening me the whole time. Amen. I'm glad that you're being edified, informed, and equipped to do what God has called you to do. Amen. Amen. If you don't mind, if you could type in the chat room who you are how you heard of this segment. Amen. Just trying to get a little feel of who you are. I think I know, but I'm not sure. Amen. I think I know, but I'm not sure. Amen. But I thank God. Amen. We got a couple of people on the line. Who's the caller from Georgia? Amen. Who's
Hello?
Calling?
Hello.
Yes. Yes. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Wonderful. Who am I speaking with?
Elder Joe Evans.
Elder Joe Edmonds?
Evans.
Evans. God bless you, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
I pray that you was informed and built up today by the teaching. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. I always try to acknowledge those who are on the line if there's not too many people that's on the line. Amen. I definitely appreciate your presence. Amen?
Sure.
Yeah. Amen. Another caller we have is Jay Renee. Who is that?
Apostle, this is Jasmine. How are you?
Oh, what's going on?
Nothing much.
I gotta get used to that instead of just seeing the caller from Virginia. Amen. But anything that you wanted to add, I thought you hung up. That was, I was going to have you to add on some stuff, amen. But anything you wanted to say before we
been
at your normal co-host?
Yes. Just kind of going back to what you were saying about how the apostles are supposed to go out and really change the culture. You know, when you were saying that, God had really gave me the revelation that, we've had it backwards. For so long, the church has been adopting to the culture, trying to create, gimmicks and be, real or modern and try to adapt to what the culture is doing in order to bring people in. And we wonder why people aren't saved. And, I mean, going all the way back to, like you were saying, with Constantine when all that started, I mean, this is where we get a lot of these holidays from, Christmas and Easter. These were the church's attempts to adapt to what the world was doing in hopes to pull people in. Fast forward to today, I mean, we know millions of people. Christmas is one of the biggest holidays, and most of them people ain't saved. Ain't nobody think about God. I mean, so these we've seen from back then, history repeats itself because people don't look, people don't study. So we see from back then that adapting to the world's culture is ineffective. And, it just ties into what you were saying. We need, within the apostolic culture, or in other words, the kingdom culture, we need to establish and change the culture instead of trying to mix with the culture or trying to adopt what society is already doing. We're supposed to be on the kingdom agenda, not society's agenda. We're not supposed to be tying into, the latest fads or the latest fashions or what's in. We're supposed to be tying into the latest thing that's on the kingdom agenda.
Amen. Amen. That's so true. That is so true. Amen. Amen. You talking good, Jen. Amen. And this is the hour where these things are finna come about. I really thank God and believe God that
you know, all this is coming about in this season. We've seen it done on a low level, but we're getting ready to see it on a large level. We're getting ready to see it on a large level. And I really do believe that God right now, he is not in a playing mood. He's not playing with religious spirits, and he's not requiring his apostle to play with religious spirits. Jesus gladly rebuked the Pharisees. Can I tell you that in this season, I'm pretty sure I know I'm not the only apostle that feels like this, but I'm rebuking religious spirits, false religious spirits, amen. I'm rebuking religious spirits, just like the Pharisees, just like Jesus did, the apostles did it, amen, because it is the false religious spirits that keep people from entering into the kingdom of God. Jesus told the Pharisees that you don't enter into the kingdom and you don't permit nobody else to do it either. You see what I'm saying? So Jesus didn't rebuke them for the simple fact that they just had wrong doctrine and they were just falsely religious. Jesus was rebuking them because of their influence over the people too. Amen. Because of their influence over the people. So God is going to raise up a standard in this hour, and I just thank God for it. Amen. My Lord. Elder, man of God, are you on the line? You have something that you wanted to say too before I release this line tonight? The man of God from Georgia. Amen. Guess not. Praise God. Amen.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good.
Thank you, and God bless you, too.
Amen. God bless you, too, sir.
Thank you.
Amen. Yvette, amen. God bless you, Yvette, in the chat room. Yvette just been amen and everything. Amen. I truly bless God for you, though. Amen. There's a mighty, mighty work that God is calling you to do. Amen. It's a mighty work. Amen. And a lot of this stuff that was taught tonight, amen, you're called to, you know, shut a lot of that down too. Amen. Mm-hmm. Because these are things that are keeping people from entering into the kingdom of God. These are things just keeping God's people from advancing and growing in the kingdom. Amen. And everybody love to tell me this ain't winning souls, and you know we supposed to win the souls, and you sitting up here wasting your time teaching this. No, I ain't wasting my time, because if you ain't straight, how you gonna win souls and keep them? And it's a shame, because some people actually get converted into a mess.
Hmm.
I've been wondering, the Lord showed me that. And that was just recently too, I believe. He showed me that people actually get converted into a mess. They get an experience, but not a God experience. I'm going to tell you, once you truly experience the power of God, once you truly experience the kingdom and its purity and in its fullness, you will never be the same ever again. And you're not going to settle for the norm. You're not going to want the norm. But see, what people are doing now is they're converting people into a mess. They're converting people into something that is not of God. They're converting people into something that's out of order and is only halfway effective. It's only halfway effective. That's why folks still struggling with sin. That's why folks still struggling financially. That's why folks are still struggling with sickness in their bodies. Amen. Because all these gifts are not in their proper place. Amen. God has a certain way of doing things for a reason. Amen. So,
amen.
So if it's in the Word of God, if it's in the Word of God, then we need to honor what's in the Word of God. God is not going to honor a lie. Amen. God is not going to honor a lie. Amen. So, amen. Well,
amen.
God,
Apostle, before you close the line down, if I may share a word with Yvette.
Go ahead.
Yvette, I really see God really using you as a mouthpiece in this hour to really shut down a lot of people's agenda. He's been opening your eyes to a lot of things, and some of the people around you may not have seen them, but don't feel like you're wrong because you see these things, because God is really revealing a lot to you, because he's going to use that to where he's calling you to.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Get ready, Yvette. Amen. She said, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Bless God.
Amen. All right. Well, everybody that was on the line got off. I think I offended some folks tonight, which is good. It's just very good. Amen. I kind of felt that in the atmosphere, that some folks was offended. Amen. So with all that's being said and done, amen, we're going to close out in prayer. Father, I thank you for the word that was released. I thank you for everything that you have done on tonight, said, revelated to us, Father. I pray that those that will listen, Father, will be edified and built up in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for raising up a kingdom people with a kingdom agenda. My God, I thank you, Father. Father, you've just been so good to us. You're better to us than we are to ourselves. And for that, Father, we say thank you. We say that we love you with all our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And Father, we just thank you, Father, that in your grace and your mercy, you desire for all men to be saved. And I thank you that you made salvation available through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I just ask, Father, that you would bless those that would listen, those that even those that got off, Father. I ask, Father, that you would do a work in their lives, continue to do the work in their lives in Jesus' name, Father. In those areas in which they lack, Father, increase them, Father, that they may know that you are God. Father, I just thank you that you're raising up a kingdom people to go forth in every area of society and advance the kingdom. Father, I bless your name and I praise you. I thank you for the real apostles and the real prophets and the real ministry gifts standing up in this hour, Father, showing the way, Father, demonstrating the way, which is Jesus Christ. For your Son Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And, Father, we believe it and stand on it, and we walk in it and we operate in it. In Jesus' name, Father, let your kingdom manifest in its fullness. We love you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all, I'm getting ready to end this thing, but always remember this, that I love you, but can't nobody love you like Jesus. Amen. Let's keep kingdom focused. Let's keep our minds focused on the things of God, on the things that are above and not beneath and earthly and sensual. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. So let us walk in the spirit that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Love y'all. Good night.